Good morning. I am Gloria, and I'm a compulsive over eater and somebody with clean glasses that don't have spots all over them. When I was asked to do this, I thought, I'd write notes on it and have this really great thing. I was a master, and I didn't. Life got in the way. But it was good life. I'm going to start fairly well up at the top. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, I think that's an important phrase, as is down at the bottom. They will always materialize if we work for them. And I say that because for the first 15 years, they really, of 14 years of my old A life, when I came back into the rooms 23 years ago, I didn't work for them. I came in and thought I would be blessed. All I needed to do is be here and absorb. I use, and I'm going to put on a person because somebody's waving their hands in front of their screen, and that's really distracting. So I am going to focus on one person, and I love you all. I came into the rooms thinking I would just absorb it and I'd wing it. I knew enough to just be able to wing it, and I kept relapsing. But I lost weight, and that was all that mattered. I lost the first 150 pounds of the 210 pounds I needed to lose fairly easier. But as I got further down that scale, which is not the same scale you get to go down mentioned promises, that's further I got to goal weight, the harder it became, just because it's the physiology of it, of weight loss. But I say, let's get back to the painstaking. I couldn't understand why these promises weren't coming for me. Well, I realized in large part because I was just fo focusing on the physical portion. Ours is a threefold disease, and our recovery needs to be threefold. So about year 14, I finally got the clue that I actually had to work for it. So let's go back up to, we are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. Once I started working for it in 8 years ago, whatever 8 years ago, I think 2014, that's right. 2014, I started actually working my program, working my recovery on all three levels. I started doing my steps and I stopped being resentful. And I have found I can't be resentful and free of the bondage and happy at the same time. They're not conducive to each other. And I loved this freedom, this free, for me, being free of the bondage is not just free of the bondage to food. It was free of the bondage to resentment. It was free. I was being free of the bondage to self. It was all about me and what you did to me. And I don't have to live that like that anymore. And most days I don't. Occasionally I get into that place of self, but today I'm able to work through it. I'm able to realize fairly quickly that I'm focusing just on my needs and nobody else's. And I get to work through to the other side of it. And I love being most days happy. I have not been feeling very happy. I've had to work. Let me rephrase that. I've had to work to happiness, toward happiness since, life and world history, world events happen occasionally. And my solution to that, part of my solution to that is I get to turn TV off, or at least turn off the news. Because most of the news that is happening, I don't need to know about. I will occasionally, once in a little blue moon, I will watch the local news just to be aware of anything I need to know. And then I turn it off. And then get up
15 minutes
off my couch and go about my life and live a wonderful life. And I get to today interact with other people, which used to be scary, which is a later promise. we will not regret the past, nor wish to turn the door, shut the door on it. There's nothing I could do about the past. There is absolutely nothing I can do to change it. I have a coffee mug that has this quote by Eleanor Roosevelt that talks about how the past is history. I forget exactly how it's exactly worded, and I'd have to run to go get it. Past is history. The future has not happened yet. But the present is, I know what it says. The future is a mystery. The present is a gift. It's a present. So I get to live in the present and not resent or regret the past, nor fear the future. I get to live in today because I'm working my program. Because when I am working my disease, that's all my disease is about, is the past. What someone did to me in the past, or some stupid thing I had done in the past. There are things I had wished I had done that I didn't do. I can't change that. Nor can I change that other person that I'm resentful at. The future, I can't do anything about except live in my recovery. There was a reading yesterday that talked about, and I forget exactly how it went, but it talks about what I can do about my future is enable it. I could enable a wonderful future for myself if I'm working my program. And I think that was in yesterday's for today. The next part is, next one, we will comprehend the word serenity. And I do. I comprehend it. I will have it. And I will have serenity. I will not only comprehend it, I will have it, as long as I do the work that I need to do. And aside from turning off the news, part of the work I do to understand serenity is I come to at least two meetings a day, not just two meetings. There are two strong meetings. I need to come to two strong meetings where there is recovery, where there's a lot of it, where most of, if not all those people are working toward recovery. I've been going to a local meeting up until recently, and I've been going there for 23 years. I had to stop going to that meeting, and I used to love that meeting, but there was no recovery in that meeting. The few people that are left in that meeting, none of them worked their recovery. And that's on them, and God bless them. I pray for them all. But I need to be with other people whose experience, strength, and hope, they have a lot of it, and I need to follow them. I need to follow those people who have experience, strength, and hope in recovery. And I need to be that person of experience, strength, and hope for the newcomer. But I can't do it alone. It's on all of us. But I work for, the other thing I do, the other things I do is I read my literature daily, because I have, just as in these rooms where I find God with skin on, I find God with skin on in my literature. And there's always something I need to read, something I need to hear in the rooms and in my literature. But I, on a daily basis, just like I do the literature and the meetings on a daily basis and have a commitment to that, I use my other tools. I daily use my food plan. I no longer wing it. I weigh and measure my food. Not everybody weighs and measures their food. I do because that's what my recovery needs. Because my disease will lie to me if I don't weigh and measure my food.
10 minutes remaining.
Thank you. I use an action plan that entails all three legs of my recovery tool. I do something for my emotional health. I do something for my spiritual health. And I do something for my physical health. And that part with the physical health, that means getting up, going out to the great outdoor and bring my higher power with me and exercise for a while. It's nothing great or anything, but I go out and expend energy. And I bring my higher power with me. Somebody one time gave me this wonderful acronym for God. It's great outdoor. And I love that. You know, and just to ensure that I have, you know, I bring my higher power with me and hand my day and hand my problems and hand my resentments and hand everything over to her. Because I call my higher power's name is Grace. Because I want God's grace. And I hand it to her, and then I listen for what she needs me to do, which is pretty cool. So no matter, so the next part is no matter how far down the scale we have gone, and I've always taken that to be no matter how far down the scale into despair, into drunkenness, into compulsive eating, I can be of use to somebody. I've met people who thought, well, they just weigh so much and it's hopeless. And I give my story of how I used to weigh 337 pounds. And today I weigh 140. So part of my story is that I get to show people that this does work. This life does work. But I've worked for it. That feeling of useless and self-pity will disappear. I no longer feel useless. I no longer feel useless. I don't always feel useful, but I no longer feel, well, what the hell is the point? I no longer feel that I am of no substance. I have nothing to offer. I have so much to offer. I have a dear, dear friend who is also in OA, and she was saying she hasn't heard from her sponsor in a long time. You know, and so I asked her, how come she didn't call the sponsor? And it just never occurred to her that it was her job sometimes to call the sponsor. Having a sponsor is a two-way street. And it's not so much that you're, it's a two-way street. You're part of a relationship. And for that relationship to grow, both sponsor and sponsee have to participate. And she says that just never occurred to her. Because she was not somebody normally to reach out. So I'm grateful that I have the experience, strength, and hope to be able to offer to someone. I feel like I am part of when I do that rather than apart from. The next one is a feeling we will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Most of the time, and occasionally I forget, it's not all about me, but for the most part, one of the things I've been able to do is just sit and listen. Listen to somebody, what's going through their head. And sometimes that's a wonderful thing. I don't always have to be talking. I don't have to make it about me. One of the best services, I'm sorry, one of the best services I could offer someone is to just sit and listen. Like somebody sometimes just needs to talk. I've heard people say that all they just needed to talk and about whatever problem was going on. And as they heard themselves talk, they were able to get to the other side of it. And sometimes when somebody's talking, needing to share in these rooms or share in a conversation between two fellows.
5 minutes remaining.
Thank you. That person doing the sharing is not necessarily wanting feedback. And they're not wanting to unload. They just need to work through the problem to the other side and have somebody listen. So, and that's the same as self-seeking will slip away. The thing that I want to talk, two things I want to talk most about is her whole attitude on life and whole attitude and outlook on life will change. I was a very negative person. I was convinced that the world was going to end, the sky was going to fall in. And not only has it not, my life is pretty darn good. It's pretty darn good. But the two things, fear of people, that was a biggie. I feared and distrusted people my whole life up until I came into these rooms. I actively learned how to distrust. And sitting in these rooms, I was able to learn to trust one person at a time. In these rooms over the last 23 years, I was able to understand that nobody was out to get me, or at least the people in these rooms, people were not out to get me. People just wanted to help me and offer to me what they had. Economic insecurity was big. I recently, about a year and a half ago, inherited money from my mother who had passed away in December of 2020. And when she passed, it never occurred to me that there was an inheritance, you know, because they, you know, it just never occurred. And suddenly I've got money. I'm on Social Security disability and I was scared to death. I was afraid that it would change everything financially for me. I would, you know, well, things did change. Things did change, but they changed for the better. But, you know, every time that fear of the economic insecurity would come up, I was able to hand it to God. I no longer had to live in that, oh, my God, my financial world is going to disappear. You know, I'm going to, you know, bankrupt. And because I handed my fear to God, I felt comfort. I felt every time it came up, I just felt comfort because I handed it to God. And because of that, I was able to properly grieve my mother. And I was able to actually sit and feel those feelings and not eat. I was able to hand that grief to higher power also. And it felt wonderful. And I think we will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. I could not on my own work through my fears. I could not work through my resentments. I could not work through all my negativity. I tried for 44 years to work through all that stuff on my own. And every time I kept trying to work through all that stuff on my own, I kept hitting a brick wall. And let me tell you, that hurts. That hurts to hit, hitting a brick wall, really, you know, and I kept hurting myself. And once I became humble and realized that doing it my way wasn't working, I realized I had nothing to lose by handing it over to God. That that God that brought me into the room saying, I think you need to get back into OA, you know, and my life became so different when I trusted. And it's a lovely acronym, and I'll put it in the chat for trusted. And it's truly rely upon step three. Once I started totally relying on step three and that higher power that brought me into the rooms, my life changed. So on that, I think I'm done. And thank you for listening. And I will mute now.